Hello and welcome to the Pondering Scripture podcast, where we'll open God's Word and let Him guide our lives. I'm your host, Jeremiah Cox.
Welcome to the Pondering Scripture podcast. We are in between James chapter 3 and James chapter 4. And what we intend to do with this particular podcast and with a couple of others following them is to consider a topical consideration and study, I guess, if you will, less of a deep study of God's Word and more of a discussion. Of course, I'm the only one talking, but I'm just going to consider some thoughts I've had and some things that I've thought about as we've been enduring this particular adversity and this pandemic of COVID-19 or coronavirus, whichever is your preference in name. And I just want to preface this particular discussion with the understanding, and I know that you understand this, that obviously everyone is going to have their different perspectives on these matters. Not everyone's going to be thinking the exact same things. But while parts of these discussions that I intend to have with these next couple of podcasts are certainly that nature and somewhat maybe opinion-based, but really not so, we're not going to be looking at the particular aspects and components of this that are probably the more widespread discussion, political matters and discussions about the data that's out there in regard to COVID-19. That's not my intention at all. This is a spiritual discussion, a pondering scripture podcast, and that's what we're going to do. But I did just want to consider some things that I've observed, I'm sure you've observed, but also with scriptural foundation to them, and discussing what we're to be and how we're to act and some of the things that we've seen in the midst of this COVID-19 pandemic among Christians and among the church. I know that certainly I'm not an authority on this by any means. I'm not trying to be. I just want to discuss some of these matters and think about some of these things. It's important to consider some matters. And we'll get into some more specific topics and discussions of this in the next couple of podcasts, but I think it's appropriate to kind of discuss the topic of suffering and adversity. When things like this happen, especially widespread things which affects the entire globe, you know, there are those questions that tend to arise. Why do these things exist? Why does God allow them to happen? And, you know, the skeptics will turn to things like the current adversity and other even more severe matters and cause that to turn themselves away from God, allow that to cause them to turn away from God. They'll really view it as an evidence of God not existing, and it certainly is not. And I would argue that the existence of suffering more so reveals that God does exist for various reasons. Now, we're not going to get into any depth in discussing things like this. I'm not trying to be a C.S. Lewis by any means. And really, no one can answer the question in totality in regard to why does suffering exist. You know, your guess is as good as mine in many ways. But there are some spiritual and fundamental principles that God has revealed to us in Scripture which can give us some answers. Maybe not the answers we're even looking for, because maybe we just can't find those. They don't exist for us. God hasn't revealed them to us. But what He has revealed is what is most important for us to understand. And I think we can answer some of those questions. I think one of the important questions that needs to be asked, especially in regard to skeptics asking, why does God allow these things to happen if He's all powerful? Why can't He just put them to a stop? Well, if you're going to ask why God exists and why these things seem to be contradictory and stuff, and you're trying to answer that question or really refute the belief of God's existence, then you also have to view it from the proper perspective, the paradigm in which the Christian views these things. So maybe a question we need to also ask is, what if these things didn't happen? Okay, why do they happen? Why does God allow them to happen? Maybe that's a valid question, but what if they didn't happen is also an equally valid question, and perhaps even a more difficult one to answer. But just consider, if these things did not happen, what if there was no suffering in the world? What if God caused everything bad to stop happening? Well, first and foremost, that would require God to take away our free will. And I don't think any one of us would be willing to give up our free will. That's really what makes us human in the first place, what sets us apart from the animal kingdom. We have something in our nature, and the secularist can't really give an explanation of it. Of course, those who are Christians would assert that that is the spirit that God has given man. We are made in God's image. And so there's a component of man that has to be taken away if God is going to take away all suffering. Because in the Christian perspective, the biblical perspective, suffering came about from sin. And so the only way God could take away suffering ultimately, where it would never come up, where it never came up and never would come up again, would be to take away man's free will. And that even goes against the nature of God. He created man with free will and respects that and allows man to make their own choices. But also, if God took away suffering, you know, this planet, this earth, this physical realm would be all that there is that is worth anything. I mean, think about it. You have to take these questions from a perspective of the Christian as well as in the perspective of God as well as the perspective of the secularist. You know, they ask, why does God allow suffering to exist? Because suffering is bad, and if God is good, then that doesn't make sense to them. But they're also not thinking about eternity, or else they'd believe in God because God is eternal. They're thinking about the material universe, and this is all there is. And so what they want is a utopia of sorts, and they would suggest that the Christian perspective is that an all-powerful God could make that happen. But that's just beside the point. That's not anything a Christian would subscribe to. What if God would take these things away? Well, the Christian would have no incentive to live a holy life. This place is all there would be. There would be no longing for something better. In 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 1, Paul says, "We know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us his spirit as a guarantee." Of course, Paul speaking as a Christian with hope. But the fact is there is an eternal part of things. And if suffering was taken away completely, and everything on this earth was good, there was no pain or anguish, there was no adversity, everyone got along, everything went well, and that would only happen if God took away man's free will, of course, because man's sin has messed everything up, then really there would be no more longing for a better place. And this is just essentially the point I'm trying to make, that God allows suffering ultimately so that those who are looking for the eternal can have something to long for even more so. They can gain an understanding by viewing the suffering in this world that this world is not all that it's, you know, made up to be by those who are materialists. If this is all there is, then how pitiful is the human condition and the human race? We want something more, and the beauty of it is God has revealed to us, not only in his creation, but more specifically and importantly, in his inspired word, that there is something more and there's something to work toward. So COVID-19 is just a microcosm of that, as big as COVID-19 is. All this does is further confirm that this world is not our home, and Christians need to understand that. And with that comes the need to understand the role of adversity in the life of a Christian, and even in the existence of the Lord's body in its local sense, obviously, as it functions. In Proverbs 24 and verse 10, wisdom tells us, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. One of the roles of adversity in the life of a Christian is to test our faith. And so when something like this happens and we don't get to assemble like we normally would, and perhaps we personally have been afflicted with COVID-19 or someone we love has been affected by it directly or indirectly with all the financial adversity that has been brought upon by this as well and everything else. Well, it tests our faith. And if we faint in the day of adversity, it shows that our faith is not that strong. And maybe it shakes us a bit. We're not perfect. Certainly, it's going to affect us negatively to some degree. But then it causes us to start reflecting, and it causes us to realize our need for God. You think of Paul's thorn in the flesh. Paul, of all people, as strong as he is seen to be in Scripture, wanted it gone. He prayed to God and pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from him, 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 8. And what he came to realize is that in this adversity, he needed God, and he came to realize that more than he ever had before. And when he prayed to God, Jesus answered, "My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness." And it brought Paul to this realization. "Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Essentially, what suffering can do for us is it can shock us to a greater realization of our own feebleness, of our own impotence, of our own lack of ability and need desperately for one who is all-powerful and in control. And hopefully it causes us to turn to God. I know it certainly has caused me to reflect in that way, and I've seen the evidence of others as well. We need God always, but we realize that even more when we go through times like we're going through right now. And, you know, along those lines, it allows us to refine our values and focus. So what seems so important before all of this came along is not seeming that important now. And really, what this has blessed us with is, you know, more time with family, you know, a reason to try to find some kind of way to fill the time apart from our normal things of entertainment and going out and all of these things. Families are able to spend more time together. And while a person may be kept from work or have to work at home, and that's a certain adversity, a struggle, and a trial in and of itself that we've got to cope with, there's also a silver lining that you're there at home with your family. No doubt we've noticed more and more Christians studying together, where beforehand they may not have been as inclined to do that. And so these things are matters that we work through, but there's also a refining process in this. In 1 John 3, he speaks of the fact that we're called children of God and the world doesn't know us because it did not know him. And in hearing within that is this idea of suffering because they didn't know Jesus, so they persecuted him and put him to death. And that's kind of the same concept. They're not going to treat us well because we're children of God. They don't see that. That's not important to them. But since we are children of God with the hope of being like him, for we shall see him as he is, everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure, 1 John 3 and verse 3. And so it refines us. It causes us to realize what is most important. It causes us to reflect on our own weaknesses and shortcomings and what we need to focus on more. Adversity has this kind of way by God's help, obviously, and his grace, as we saw in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Adversity has this way of giving us a laser focus, if you will, where we're just more in tune with what we should be as a Christian. And we need to grab hold on to that and see the silver lining and grow by it. You know, as we've been studying in James, James chapter 1 speaks of adversity and how the testing of our faith produces patience, and so it gives us endurance. Romans 5, 3 through 5 also alludes to that and shows how it produces that perseverance. And then proven character and then strengthens our hope and solidifies that. And so there's good to come out of this. And it produces righteousness. That's part of the refining process and the gaining the endurance that comes with going through trials. It produces righteousness, that is, if we react properly. Hebrews 12 talks about the chastening of the Lord and how these Christians there were not viewing it in the way that they should have been viewing it, and they were falling away, and he calls them to understand God's dealing with you as with sons. If you weren't chastened, you would be illegitimate and not sons, and that human fathers chastened us for our own good, and we paid them respect, and we should repay respect to the Father of spirits, and we should live, and that he does this for our profit. And in verse 11 of Hebrews 12, it says, "No chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it." But that can only be produced if we react to this adversity and suffering in a positive manner, in the manner that God wants us to. Right there in Hebrews 12, in verse 12, he follows that encouragement to see it as it is, that it will produce the peaceable fruit of righteousness. And he says, "Therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather healed." And he kind of elaborates on what he means by that. But essentially, he's telling the Christians there, yeah, you're going through persecution, you're going through tribulation, you're going through these things. But if you don't buck up, if you don't lift your head up and try to see the positive in this, try to see the good in this, then it's going to destroy you. And that's what Paul's thorn in the flesh would have done. It was a messenger of Satan to buffet him, we read of in 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 7. If he would have just gotten down in the dumps and reacted negatively to the Lord's response, he would have been destroyed. But when he came to and he realized that this has potential for great good, God can refine me in this, he can strengthen me in this, Paul became strong in his weakness, because that's where the Lord's strength is perfected. And so it produces righteousness if we react properly. And you know, we need to understand the nature of adversity. And so where certainly all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution, adversity for a Christian is not only persecution, which gives us a greater understanding of why we're going through COVID-19, because it just happens sometimes. Things happen. It's not necessarily God that is punishing us. It's not necessarily the case that, you know, something has been done that triggered this and led to this, but this is something that can just happen to God's people. In Romans 8, Paul talks about suffering and the fact that nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. And he says in verse 35, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword?" And so you think about that. Certainly persecution is included in this idea. He mentioned it, but he also mentioned distress. That could be anything that brings stress upon us. Famine, that doesn't necessarily come from us being faithful to God. Nakedness and peril, those are things which may come from our devotion to God, and therefore in persecution we lose our necessities and go through various perils, but could also just be a part of living life under the sun. You see in Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 12, it says, "Time and chance happen to them all." We live in an imperfect world. We live in a world where sin has corrupted all that we see, and we will suffer some of those consequences, and it may not be directly linked to something we've done or said, but it's just because we live in an imperfect world. And you know, the nature of discipleship includes this kinds of adversity that come from indirect sources, not necessarily from the fact of persecution, but just in the fact that we are living in an imperfect world. We're sojourners and pilgrims, and adversity comes with being a sojourner and pilgrim. Consider Jesus' words in Luke 9, in verse 58, but in verse 57, someone said, "Lord, I will follow you wherever I go," or "wherever you go." And Jesus said, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." He's certainly saying that in his ministry, he's going to be traveling some, obviously. But really, he came to this earth. He left his home of heaven. And this is not his home. Jesus knew this more than anyone because he left his home in heaven, came to this earth. So he knew something before he became a man. And then he became a man and he's here and this world is not his home. We've got to realize that too, that if we're going to be followers of Jesus, the disciple has nowhere to lay his head. His rest is in heaven, not here. And so we're going to expect adversity on this side of the rest. And we can be resting when we get to heaven. That's the nature of discipleship. And so in all of this, we got to turn to God and trust. And really the next two episodes of this topical discussion will really focus on that even more. So we'll see some good things that we've observed of Christians and the church within this COVID-19 pandemic and adversity. But we'll also see some bad things, some decisions that are not with the authority of God that we need to beware of. There are brethren who have made decisions to do certain things that they have no authority to do, and it's been brought on by this process. So where we can view this pandemic as something with a silver lining, God can help us grow in this process. We also need to be warned that this is a messenger of Satan. He's trying to destroy us with this. God has the power to actually build us up. But it's all going to happen one way or another based on our trust or our lack of trust in God. Proverbs 3 and verse 5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones." And there's a particular way that occurs. We trust in the Lord ultimately. That's another word for faith in the Lord. By adhering to his word. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And there have been those who have turned away from the word of God during this time and have made decisions without God's counsel. And that's dangerous, but there's been a lot of good too. There's been a lot of people who have defended the truth. There's been a lot of people who have turned to God, and there's been a plethora of studies and material out on the internet. There's so much good that has come out of this, but we just need to make sure that we are trusting in God and understand what that means. So I hope the next couple of episodes will be a benefit to you as well. This was a little more general, and certainly this is a little more conversational than our previous studies on James and even those topical studies, but I thought that maybe this would be somewhat beneficial. I hope that you've been benefited by it, and I hope that the next couple will be a benefit to you as well as we continue to ponder COVID-19 in spiritual ways.
Thank you for listening to this edition of Pondering Scripture. It may be that you have some questions or comments. If so, don't hesitate to email me at jeremiahstancox@gmail.com. I hope you have a blessed day.